You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We're going to be moving back to producer Jack Marshall, who spoke with BFM friend of the station and now politician Chloe Swarbrick. They discussed weed. Jack was getting a rundown on how new legislation is going through Parliament, specifically the Misuse of Drugs Amendment Bill. He asked Swarbrick what's going on down in the beehive with the bill with the weed. Here we go. This is Chloe.
Yeah, so probably important to note straight off the bat that both the government's bill and our bill had exactly the same name. So there's a little bit of confusion around that. I think it was the Misuse of Drugs Act Medicinal Cannabis Amendment Bill. So our one, which basically proposed a framework similar to what we've seen in Canada, you know, the most contentious part being that people were able to either produce themselves or nominate somebody else to produce their medicinal cannabis for them. Was voted down, but the government's bill of the same name was passed unanimously by the House, so it's currently in front of Select Committee, the Health Select Committee. So we managed to hack the system a little bit because MPs are not supposed to submit before Select Committee, but for the Green Party of Aotearoa New Zealand, one Chloe Swarbrick submitted on behalf of the party about a week or two ago now. So yeah, it's currently before the Select Committee. There have been thousands of submissions. Last time I spoke to the clerk of the Select Committee, they were still counting them. We had about, I think, 1,700 submissions come through the open platform that we had on the Green Party website. So heard a lot of personal stories through that, which were quite heart-wrenching, really. So, yeah, it's presently before the Select Committee. They basically, because the bill is in three parts, the first one, well, two parts, but it does three things. The first one is the stopgap. So it basically creates a criminal defence for those with terminal illness found to be using cannabis, but it is silent on how those people get cannabis. For the critics of my bill, I had to say, you know, cannabis still has to be grown somewhere. And it also, you know, a lot of politicians conflated that criminal defence with access. So criminal defence is not access. It means, you know, still being dragged before the courts and have to prove how sick you are. The second part of the government's bill is actually the really promising part, dependent on how the Ministry of Health progresses with it. Basically delegates powers to the Ministry of Health to come up with, first and foremost, a framework for medicinal cannabis, you know, who it can be prescribed to in this country, what kind of products we want to see. And then secondly, a licensing scheme so that we'll finally domestically be able to produce medicinal cannabis products in this country.
Mm-hmm. And so do you know when it's likely to go to Select Committee, or is that just...
It's before Select Committee at the moment. Oh, yeah. Okay. So off the top of my head, I think gestation period is about, I think it's 6 months, which is the regular, it's either six or nine. So at present, the Select Committee is currently hearing from a whole bunch of organisations, which are, you know, pretty easily identifiable. So on the day that I submitted, which was the first day of submissions, oral submissions, it was myself, New Zealand Drug Foundation, Medicinal Cannabis Awareness New Zealand, I believe the Pharmacologists Association of New Zealand, and a few other medical associations. And then this past week, they heard from a few other organisations. So moving forward, they'll hear from quite a few different individuals. After that, the committee, which is, for those who might not be aware of how select committees work, it's, you know, in Parliament, you've got 120 MPs. A select committee is basically a much more reduced number of MPs, but it's still cross-party representational. So the purpose of select committee is to, you know, leave a bit of the partisan at the door and thrash around an idea to end up with something which is hopefully beneficial to, you know, all New Zealanders. So that's exactly what we're hoping for, where if they're actually listening to the voices of those who are currently suffering, and not just suffering but being criminalised under the, you know, legal status quo, that we end up with a substantial change in the law.
Mm. And then with the Green Party, not coalition but kind of what's the word?
Confidence and supply agreement. We got confidence and we got supply.
Yeah. So under that, I believe there was a 2020 referendum planned.
Yeah.
So is that happening, and is it happening before or after the 2020 election?
Yeah, so it is definitely happening because it is in the confidence and supply agreement. There are about 20 goals, all with, well, not all, but most of them have, you know, ABC underneath them. That's one of the standalone goals around that referendum on personal adult use, recreational use of cannabis. Mm. And it's still being worked out as to whether that'll occur before the 2020 election or on the 2020 election.
If it's a referendum. And kind of like concert.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, that's a potential, right, to save money, yeah. but also hopefully to get people turning out to vote. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. There's a few different variables that have to be weighed up there. Obviously, there's the likes of turnout. There's a potential of bundling it on a referenda paper with other issues. But yeah, then the issues turn out, but that saves cost. Obviously, if we just put it on the ballot paper, that saves cost. But if we end up putting a few referenda items on the ballot paper in the 2020 election, that could just confuse things. You do end up with things like voter fatigue, so it's all worth, you know, weighing that up. But yeah, the reason that that is on in our confidence and supply agreement, it's, you know, no secret that that's been a Green Party policy for quite a while to legalize marijuana in this country. You know, if you look at the direction of travel in other jurisdictions around the world, we're very far behind you know, where those jurisdictions are heading. I was actually just on a, about 3 weeks ago, on a cross-party delegation to the States, and was talking to a senator. We're all shadowing a senator each for the day from California, and she was astounded that this country that I was describing, yeah, you know, where to her it seemed like we had next to no problems, given that our homelessness and, you know, drug abuse and incarceration is nowhere near as bad as it is in the States, that we still hadn't moved to be as progressive on cannabis as, you know, they have been in a whole bunch of states in the US.
I kind of like to think we're almost like the most socially progressive, extremely conservative country in the world. We're just in this kind of weird little, like, we're good in a lot of ways, but like, in a lot of ways, we're...
I think we're just quite chill, eh? Like, the last kind of study or survey that occurred on drug use and sentiments in New Zealand was unfortunately as far back as 2013, so it's 5 years ago. So that was a Ministry of Health survey on drug consumption amongst New Zealanders, and it found that at that point in time, extrapolated out from the survey, obviously, around 400,000 New Zealanders every year admit to using cannabis. 40% of those people self-report as using it for medical purposes. So this is already happening. So, and we've also seen, you know, on the front lines, there's a whole bunch of police officers who are on record as saying that they are de facto decriminalizing. So there's a real issue with rule of law there as well, in terms of who's actually being prosecuted, because it is very much targeting of certain demographics, and a whole bunch of systemic issues inside such targeting. But yeah, basically the reason that we obviously want to move towards legalizing cannabis, there's a whole plethora of moral panic that surrounds it. You know, there's the gateway drug thing. I mean, I had someone say that to me when I was out door knocking during the campaign, and I'd say back to them, well, you know, of course, to a certain extent, it's a gateway drug when you have to get it to the hand from the hands of somebody who's going to sell you pee if they don't have cannabis or they want to get you hooked on that. So legalizing cannabis is going to take it out of the hands of gangs. It's going to mean that people who have addiction and abuse issues are actually able to get help when they need it. And it's going to mean that we stop just incessantly filling up prisons with, you know, drug charges that we largely accept, the police accept, is kind of normalized in our society. So it's just about recognizing, and tax too. You know, we're going to raise tax revenue to be able to invest into our healthcare system and dilapidated services.
On that, kind of like going back to when you're going to California and things, I was really wondering, what do you think, or what is like the Green Party's policy in the referendum and things? What is New Zealand's cannabis industry going to look like if we compare it to other countries, like, or states in America?
Yeah, so I think it's important straight off the bat to not conflate the two issues of medical and recreational. I think that we're always going to need to have that medical track if we are serious about medicinal cannabis, because we need to ensure that there is a supply route that is affordable, accessible, and that people can, if they want to, you know, obviously know the quantities in the medicine that they're consuming, whether it be THC, CBD, those kinds of things. So just know the products that they're getting. And so too, we should see that in a market with recreational cannabis. But it's mostly just about ensuring and guaranteeing that supply for people who are using it for medicinal purposes. Yeah, it's yet to be seen what we'll end up with in New Zealand. The Green Party's position is largely that we should follow the likes of, you know, the approach that Canada's taking at the moment. Their previous Deputy Prime Minister was actually over here last year for the New Zealand Drug Foundation symposium at Parliament, and I met and talked with her about the process that they're going through at the moment. So we're in a really fortunate position where, despite being very far behind the eight ball, we can pick and choose from the frameworks that have worked in other countries. We basically just want to ensure that it ends up with, you know, regulations, that it's not just in the hands of, you know, kids, basically. But if we end up with the right framework in place, then we can ensure those safeguards are there. Because right now, you know, with it being illegal, with it being a black market, there is no discrimination on who it's being sold to.
Mm-hmm. And just kind of really finally touching on between now and the 2020 referendum, what are the kind of like major milestones we're going to see in between then, like the select committee and things like that?
Yeah, so the select committee will report back by the end of this year. It'll be interesting to see what that report encloses. It will hopefully speak to the experiences of patients, the experiences of people who've been prosecuted for compassionately supplying people in their community, you know, otherwise law-abiding citizens risking jail time, just to, you know, compassionately ensure that others are doing okay. We're hopefully going to hear as well from medical professionals. We will, within the next 2 years, have an indication of what the Ministry of Health is intending to do with regard to their framework, which they'll be setting up, and also the licensing scheme that they will be setting up. But we will also know in a fuller picture what the referendum is going to look like. Something which is, you know, my and our position, not necessarily, you know, we're still working it out with our coalition partners, is there is very much the potential to put the legislation for the framework for recreational cannabis in law and have it triggered by the referendum result. So that would mean that people would have full, you know, information about what they were actually voting for, as opposed to just, you know, the theory of change. Yes, we want to see recreational cannabis, that actually know what it would look like. So those kinds of things are going to be really important. So too, I've been working for a little while now on the creation of a cross-party group on sensible drug law reform. So inside Parliament, we will at the very least hopefully have a group of MPs from all parties who are working on establishing a consensus on the evidentiary basis for sensible drug policy moving forward, which, you know, hopefully rides it out regardless of whichever government of the day is in power.
Mm-mm. So it's kind of more, no set dates are in, but kind of more events are triggered going through.
Yeah, so there's a timeline of quite a few different things happening. So we'll have the select committee report back by the end of this year. We should have the second committee of the whole House reading and the third reading of the government's medicinal cannabis bill by mid next year. And then we will have more clarity around what the referenda on or by 2020 will look like by next year.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.